Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place, Love Connection, Bible Study. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, and compassion. We're so excited to have you here with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday from 7 Eastern Standard Time. And we're so excited about this month's lesson. So if you come with us as we are here this week and join us as Dr. Nix will be leading us on the topic of rejoicing at the generosity of God. Join me now with devotion, prayer, scripture, song, scripture, and prayer. We're going to have a song by June Rochelle, have scripture by Dr. Nix, and prayer.
Holy, He is only worthy.
Amen. Our scripture is taken, foundational scripture is John 3, 14 through 21. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. That he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. God has blessed you to the reading and hearing and the doing of his word.
Amen. Would you bow your heads with me or join me in prayer? God, we come before you tonight and we are so just elated. This is the month of December, oh God, and this is the month in which we are going to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, your Son. We're so excited, Lord, because we rejoice at your generosity. All the things that you do for us, all the things that we need, we're grateful for. You know, we want you to know how we appreciate the fact that you woke us up this morning and you gave us life. We want to appreciate the fact this morning that you started us on our way. And because of you, oh God, we have breath, we have life. And we thank you for that. We come before you right now, and we're asking that you would hover over, as you did in the book of Genesis, the Ruah, the Spirit, and enlighten us through your word. Lord, help us to continue to exalt the word of God as we exalt Jesus the Christ. Help us, oh God, to be all that you want us to do in our learning and in our growing, so that we become more like you, we walk like you, we talk like you. We're coming today, oh God, because we see fit in our hearts to reach out to a perfect God, though we are imperfect, and try, oh God, to mimic you, to mimic love, to mimic fellowship, to mimic what it means to be a believer, what it means to love other people. Help us as we endeavor to search the scriptures and to learn to be more like you, and not only to academically learn it through the head knowledge, but through our actions. Oh God, not just in word deed, not just in word, but in deed. We ask these blessings now. In your Son Jesus Christ's name we pray, trusting you for all things, believing. Amen. We are so excited this week because we are going to do a new study, and the study for this month is entitled Rejoicing at the Generosity of God. And it is going to be a phenomenal lesson. We're excited about it because we know that God's word is awesome. And this is a special season, time of the year. And we want to talk about a couple of things. We want to talk about how does the generosity of God and creation affect my life. And then next week we want to talk about how does the generosity of God and giving the Holy Spirit affect my life. And then we want to talk about, after that, we want to talk about how does God, the generosity of God and providence and sanctification affect my life. And on the 26th, we want to talk about how does the generosity of God in giving us salvation through Jesus Christ affect my life. And so as we go through the Bible study this month, we are excited as we know and understand the generosity of God. And we want to share that and celebrate that as we go through this month. And so we're asking that you not only hear and receive the scriptural lessons, but that you go out, that you go forth during the season of generosity and implement the learnings. I hear a lot of background noise. Whoever's doing that, please put your phone on mute. So, Lord, we're asking these blessings even now as we come in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well,
amen.
We're very excited tonight. And Dr. Nuss, if you are ready, we are prepared to get started. Would you, if you're ready, can we start with a roll call? And I'll let you know from time to time as people join us. We do have some people on the line that do like to listen. Just for the information of our radio studio audience, we have a lot of people here who have different philosophies, and we ask people to come to the table as they are, come bringing their belief system and their understanding. And Dr. Nips often says this, come and let us reason together. Let us look at the text. Let us examine the text. Let us expound on the text. And then to share our learnings with one another. And just to dialogue, because there are people who have questions. Many of you may have questions. And if you do have questions, feel free to call in. Our guest call-in number is 646-478-4932. So if you'd like to join us and call in and dialogue, it is 646-478-4932. So, Dr. Nix, if you're ready to go, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Amen. This is, of course, the time of the month that we remember the birth of Christ. And for those that are listening in, sometimes we, I think, fail to appreciate and celebrate what God has given us, especially at times when we maybe are going through hardships and we don't have maybe some things that we feel we need. But this month, I want us to take time to reflect not only on what God has given us, but how it affects our lives. So when I say examine the generosity of God in creation and how that affects my life, that means that I want us to reflect on what God has given us in nature, in creation, and how that affects us. And then understanding how it affects us, then we, I think, should be able to celebrate and rejoice at what God has given us. But also, I think it gives us an appreciation for how great and awesome God is. And just to start the discussion, I don't know who we have online, but just a question to start. Can you give an example of generosity in your life? Generosity from God, but also generosity from people. What does generosity mean to you?
Did you have a roll call?
Yes, who do we have on the line?
This is Eric.
Hello, Eric.
We got Mark and Sean.
Anybody here? Eric, Mark, Sean, myself.
Okay, so I asked the question. Can you give examples of generosity or just express what you feel generosity is so that we can help our listening audience understand this concept of generosity better?
To me, this is Dr. Susie. To me, the word generosity illuminates giving without expecting something back. It's an overwhelming, abundant giving, and it's giving freely. It's giving overwhelmingly, you know, such that there's no expectation for payment. It's generous. It's that kind of giving that makes one amazed. So it's an open, loving, free-flowing type of giving for me. And Eric, I think you were talking, you already said something.
Yeah, that's about the gist of what I was going to say. And I know that another part of that conversation is, can you talk about a time when you received that and how that affected you, kind of? And I just have one that I always remember and I'll never forget. I was traveling from California to Ohio for Christmas. I had gotten sick out in California in college, and the sickness they called valley fever, and the really only cure for it was to get away from the area because it had something to do with the air and the particles in the air, and needed to get away from that environment for about a month. And so I just figured I'd go home and was driving. Had enough money and gas to get me there. And was in Williams, Arizona, and stopped to get some gas. And this was when they still had full service gas stations. Some of y'all may not remember those.
I do.
And the guy pumped my gas and you know, checked the oil and the water, and he looked at my tires and he said, "Man," he said, "you need some tires." And I said, "Well, how much is that going to cost?" And he said, "Like $240. And I had $150 with me. And I'm like, "Wow." And so I called my granddad and said, I can't go back to where I'm at because the tires won't get me there. And I don't have to get enough to get home." And he said, "Well, let me talk to the guy." And the guy said, "All right, I'll talk to your granddad, and this is what we're going to do." He says, "I'm going to put the tires on, and you're going to give me $140, which left me $10, and he's going to wire some money, and you pick it up in Albuquerque, New Mexico," which was, I don't know, about 300-400 miles away. And the guy did that. And I made it to Albuquerque and got the money and got home. And my granddad had told him that on my way back that I would bring him the rest of the money. And on my way back, I stopped. And that guy said, "I never expected to see you again." And so he showed generosity to me, not even expecting to get what he was owed. The agreement that he made and the fact that he made it with my grandfather meant that he made it with me in my mind. And I told him, I said, there was no way that I was not going to stop by here and, you know, bring this to you. Because you helped me get home where I could have been stranded and Lord knows any and everything could have happened. And so that was generosity of a person who did not know me, who did not look like me, who extended himself and his company and his livelihood because he felt it was the right thing to do. So it is, as Dr. Susie said, it's someone giving of themselves, not expecting anything in return, not looking for anything in return, just for the sole purpose of seeing that somebody else, life or circumstances can be made a little bit better, maybe not perfect, but certainly a little bit better than what they find themselves in when they interact with that person, which is
Amen.
What God did for us through Son Jesus Christ. Through his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. John, Mark, do you have anything to add to that? Examples of generosity, what it means to you?
This is Sean. So generosity to me is just getting like an unexpected blessing. So it's not something that I worked for or deserved or earned or anything like that. It's just the kindness or the goodness of God, you know, coming through people or situations that, like I said, I didn't, you know, do anything for it. It was just him just being good to me and loving me and blessing me. So I've had that in so many different situations that, you know, it's not just one in particular. I don't know if that's what you guys are looking for in terms of an example of that. But, I mean, I've had just strangers like Eric just describe, you know, be generous and good to me. And I've had friends that, you know, during, you know, challenging times just step up and come through for me in ways that I never even imagined them offering to do, and they do, you know, did it for me. So it's just a wonderful experience, and I just believe that's God showing himself through these other people.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'd like for us to, and that's good, and I think it's important for our hearers and those that might hear us later on to understand generosity. And we're going to talk about God's generosity for these next 4 weeks. And today we want to start with the generosity in creation or in nature. And to do that, I want us to start with Genesis chapter 1. So if we can, someone get Genesis chapter 1 for us.
This is Eric. I've got it.
Okay. And you can start reading. We're going to read the whole first chapter of Genesis. But read.
All right.
You can start reading, and we'll take a break at verse 13.
One to 13. All right, this is a New Living Translation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was empty and formless. The earth was empty, a formless mass cloaked in darkness, and the Spirit of God was hovering over its surface. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that it was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. Together these made up one day. And God said, "Let there be space between the waters to separate water from water." And so it was. God made the space to separate the waters above from the waters below. And God called the space sky. This happened on the second day. And God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky be gathered into one place so that dry ground may appear." And so it was. God named the dry ground land and the water seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land burst forth with every sort of grass and seed-bearing plant. And let there be trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. The seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came." And so it was. And the land was full of seed-bearing plants and trees, and these seeds produced plants and trees of like kind. And God saw that it was good. This all happened on the third day.
Amen. So in looking at the idea of God, generosity and creation, what do we see in these first 13 verses that God has given us, and how do those gifts affect our lives?
Well, this is Eric. I mean, just those three, without God doing what he did, you know, man wouldn't have been able to sustain himself in the world without light and dark, without you know, land and sea, without seed bearing trees and plants and stuff. And so you see God already providing for the needs of the creation that would come later in a systematic way. And I think that's the biggest part of that. I think a lot of times we take for granted that God has a systematic way of doing things. It's not haphazard. It's not chaos. It is well thought out and well planned out, and he wants that for our lives as well, but we get in the way and throw some angst in the game, and I think we forget that. And I know there is a scripture that tells us that God is not a God of disorder. I mean, God is not. God is not a God of disorder and confusion.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I think we need to read on down to the 31st verse, I think, to get the full concept of God's generosity and creation. So can somebody continue to read that? Genesis 14 through 31.
I can read it if you like, Dr. Nuss. I've still got it.
Okay.
All right, so we'll start at 14.
Yes.
And God said, "Let bright lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. There will be signs to mark off the seasons, the days, and the years. Let their light shine down upon earth." And so it was. For God made two great lights, the sun and the moon, to shine down upon the earth. The greater one, the sun, presided during the day. The lesser one, the moon, presided through the night. He also made the stars. God set those lights in the heavens to light the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and this all happened on the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swim with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind." So God created great sea creatures and every sort of fish and every kind of bird. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, "Let the fish multiply and fill the ocean. Let the birds increase and fill the earth." This all happened on the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth every kind of animal, livestock, small animals, and wildlife." And so it was. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, and small animals, each able to reproduce more of its own kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make people in our own image, to be like ourselves. They will be masters over all life, the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all livestock, wild animals, and small animals." So God created people in his own image. God patterned them after himself. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and told them, "Multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Be masters over the fish and the birds and all the animals." And God said, "Look, I have given you the seed-bearing plants throughout the earth and the fruit trees for your food. And I have given all the grasses and other green plants to the animals and birds for their food." And so it was. Then God looked over all that he had made and saw that it was excellent in every way. This all happened on the sixth day.
Amen. Amen. And we know that God rested on the seventh day. But I want us to focus on verses 26 through 31. And when God said, "Let us make man in our image," "according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over all the earth." So when we look at what God has given us in creation, the generosity of God in creation, how does that affect our lives?
How does God's generosity affect our lives?
Yes, in creation.
I think it's phenomenal.
Okay. I was just going to point out that. Go ahead, Dr. Susie.
Somebody else was talking. It wasn't me.
Oh, no, I was just going to say God's generosity and creation provides for us. It's provision in terms of food and our health and well-being. So, you know, everything he created was a provision for our survival.
Amen.
Yeah, this is Eric. And the other thing, you know, and I can't say I thought a lot about this, but God created all this stuff and then gave man dominion over it.
Yeah.
Amen. And you know, people may not think about that, but think about that. God created man. And he said, you know, let's make him in our image, in our likeness. We know that he was talking in the triune at that point, that the Holy Spirit and the Son and himself. And then he gives him dominion over everything that he has created. Now, what kind of relationship should that tell us that God really wanted with man?
Amen. And how beautiful it was. I mean, we're not just talking about the whole world when we wake up and we walk outside and we see the Grand Canyon and the beautiful mountains and things like that. We're talking about the Garden of Eden that was probably so beautiful. And we think the Grand Canyon and those kind of things are gorgeous. I mean, that is generosity, that God created all of that splendor just for us.
Well, just for us, and then gave us the charge to look after it and
dominion.
Take care of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm just in amazement about God and creation, and because when you look at creation, and we think of the earth and the sun and the moon as creation. But I want us to get our minds beyond the earth and look up into the heavens and see all the stars and the constellations that are up there all around us. God's creation is not limited to the earth. God's creation
Amen.
Is so much more than that. It's so much bigger than
Amen,
that.
Amen, Dr. Nooks. And this is Eric again, and I recall when, you know, some of the newscasters, the Hubble telescope, when they started broadcasting those pictures back from that telescope, from that satellite as it was out in space, and the images that it saw and broadcasted back, and it just made me in amazement that we as humans, we think that we're so intelligent and so, you know, smart and so accomplished, but yet we could never create anything like that. So we go from the mass of that, and then I think about the micro of God's
yeah,
creation, a little small animals
sails.
And sails mm-hmm. that can't even be seen with the naked eye, and so if a God can create all that and manage that, if I humble myself, maybe he can manage, you know, my little craziness too.
Yeah.
But Eric, this is Dr. Susie. Something that jumped out at me as I was listening to both you and Dr. Nooks is that when we understand the system, the solar system, then we realize that we are not the center of the world. We are not the focal point. You know, when we move away from Earth, planet Earth, we are just a drop in God's creation. And if we understand our importance is not, you know, we sometimes I think we blow our own importance out of proportion. And I think that brings it back into perspective. So thank you for that.
Well, See, and I kind of beg to differ a little bit, Dr. Susie, only in that God created us and charged us to all of it. So he felt we were important. I think where we get lost is that we think we are the end all to be all, that we don't recognize God for what all God has done. You know,
I'm supporting it, but what I'm saying is, I guess what I'm saying is, we're assuming that we're the only humans. We're the only created beings on Earth. There's all those planets and solar systems out there, and I'm saying we're assuming that we are the only species. We're all that God created. And all I'm saying is that we're just a drop in the hat of what God has created. And I'm not saying that God did not give us Eden and give us this earth to take care of. I agree with that wholeheartedly. But what I'm saying is that we as human beings, to me, and I hear you, Eric, is saying that we are not, I think what happens is human beings think that we're the center of everything. And as the center of everything, we don't even take care of the earth and the trees and the stars and the smog in the sky and the lakes that we're in. And we forget that God actually gave us dominion, which means to take care of. And as a result, we don't provide or make sure that what was here is endures. You know, we've got oil spills, we've got pollution, we've got all these things because we haven't cared to do a great job in our stewardship. Mm-hmm. And if we understood kind of that we are here to do a hello? Somebody else talking?
Somebody's phone needs to be muted.
Somebody's talking. Yeah, you need to mute your phone. We can't hear. So, anyway, I forgot what I was saying. Go ahead, Dr. Nick.
I was just going to say, and I was going to go along with what you and Brother Eric have been saying, but God, we are important to God, and God has given us all these things and also given us responsibility. When you look at things on the cell level and how blood flow goes in a certain direction and we have all these, you know, all these miles of veins and arteries and blood pumping through us, and we have a brain that processes better than any computer, and God has given us all these things, and we see the generosity of God toward us and given us dominion over all those, the sea and the air it ought to make us feel a certain way toward God if we understand all that God has given us. And that's what I'm trying to get us to understand today in nature, in creation, how great God is in creation and the responsibility that we ought to have, and Dr. Susie was talking about it, in taking care of what God has given us. I have many people that I serve as a chaplain, and I'm one of them too, that loves to be in nature and just to walk and be outside and to observe the flowers and the trees and the air. It's spiritual to me because this is God's creation. And those that are listening in, some of them might also experience this, the love of nature. And you need to understand where all that came from. And I'm amazed when I look in the sky and I see all the colors that God puts in the clouds and in the skies. I see pinks and purples and the rainbows. And God must really love us to give us so much. So that 26th to the 31st verse means a lot to me, in that we've been given dominion over all this, and it humbles me when I see all that God has given us in creation. And if God gives us air to breathe and God breathed into us the breath of life and we became a living soul, God gives us water to drink. God gives us food. God gives us clothing. All that we have, all that we can see around us is a gift from God. And so I get excited when I turn flip the switch on the light on the wall and the lights come on because God has given me lights in my house. I get excited when I turn the faucet and the water comes out. So God has given us the plumbing and the water that we drink. So I'm just trying to convey the generosity of God and creation. And when you think about all that and how complicated it is, and I think Eric talked about that earlier, our bodies process things in such a way that it would take many, many computers to try to get blood to flow to some spot on my toe, that I prick some spot on my toe, and then unless all the blood flows out, it's got to clot. So God causes clotting to be in my blood to be able to clot that, and our bodies react in certain ways, and our eyes are amazing that we can see things. We take all this stuff for granted, but it's so complicated that people, they don't understand it, but God does. And I'm just excited about the intelligence and the love and the compassion of God, that he still loves us even when we mess up. So,
amen.
Do we have any other
amen.
Comments about the generosity of
this
God?
Brett.
Yes, Brett.
Yes. It's the first book of Genesis is very interesting. If you really stop and think about everything that you have said and everybody else has said, the one element in this whole picture of creation has been that God did not give man dominion over other men. It was not intended for us to be governed by another man. So I think if we really look at everything was placed into order so that man could survive when he was created. And from that, we have gone on to evolve. That's all I have to say.
Amen. And I think that's important. About people not having dominion over other people.
Yeah, this is Eric. That's very pointed. And the fact of the matter is that as the relationship was started, is that you know we would have fellowship with God. We would walk with God. I know that in you know later in the text of Genesis, it talks about that Adam had a Adam and Eve had a relationship where God walked with them in the garden.
Amen.
And you know, and we know that you know, in subsequent chapters when you look at Kings and Samuel, where the Israelites, whose king was God, made the statement, "We want a king like other nations to rule over us and lead us into battle." Well, they had the King of Kings. They had the king.
Come on.
And so, yeah, Brett, you're absolutely right. It was not designed that way. But, you know, with all that other stuff, we talk about creation and generosity, so I won't get into all that other stuff. we'll save that for another day.
Amen.
But we understand, as we're talking about creation, that when sin came into the garden, that the beginning of the discord and began to throw things out of proportion, and sin began to take a hold, and that's when things were no longer level. That's when things were no longer as God intended, and that's why Christ came back to level things at the ground of the cross, to make things clear, to reinstate that so that we can begin to re-represent Christ and God in a good way. because as it was, you know, our nature became sinful and tainted. And so because of the blood of Christ, if we choose to receive that, then we can operate back in the way that God intended, working towards that wholeness that created understanding, the initially created understanding of love.
And I want us to think about for a while, for a minute, and we just have a few minutes. God has given us all this, and we have taken creation, and we know that we had the peace accords and trying to do something with the environment and all the countries in the world except for two, I think the United States and some country in South America didn't want to be a part of it. And we think of that as politics. I think of it as responsibility in God's creation. That we have polluters all over the world, and we're one of the biggest polluters, and China and India are probably the other two. And China and India will be a part of this accord to save energy and the environment, and the United States pulls out of the accord. And all the other countries in the world want to do it, but we don't. So, go ahead, Dr. Suga.
It just blew my mind how President Trump has said that he's going to take the parks and that were set aside as sanctuaries that couldn't be disturbed, and he's going to sell off land so that they can do drilling. That he's going, and there are several. I think there were like three or four major parks, and that they don't do drilling in the Grand Canyon, and the Native American and all the people are upset because we no longer are being good stewards the earth that God has given us. And so how does creation impact us? Well, it will impact us deadly if we don't care for it. But you know what? Even in the end, the Bible says that creation itself will be groaning for the return of God. And so that's because of how we treat it.
Amen. Amen. And
this is Eric, but what do you expect from someone whose only concern is money?
Yeah.
It's how to get more money.
Money. That's what you get from a business person.
All business people. Some come with consciousness, but unfortunately we don't have one. In the authority position right now, and so, you know, don't be surprised at anything that this administration does, because it is not a sound doctrine.
Well, the sad thing about it was creation. But Eric, like you're saying, the sad thing about it with creation is you can't reverse stuff when you start it. Once you start destroying creation, you can't take that back. You can't put it back the way it was.
And Dr. Susie, how well do I know that? But the same. Oh man, I really don't want to go down this road tonight. I don't want to disturb Dr. Nooks' study.
Come on.
How can you not expect for all those things to happen and for it to get worse when the very people who say they think and believe the same thing that you do have turned their back to worship this administration for all the ills that it has, as long as you provide these massive tax cuts and things that you have decided that you want to do for us? And they still follow him, and yet they call themselves, you know, evangelicals and Bible believing and Christians, mm-hmm. and yet they accept that foolishness, where the Bible tells us that we need to come away from among that kind of behavior if it is not right of God, if it is not the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And so we have this angst of us who are studying and following and trying to be the stewards of God's words, But we don't sit in the power of authority in our own government right now.
Well,
and so until there's a change there, we still need to protest and cry out and pray and ask for God and do the things that we can do to affect the changes that we can affect. But until that whole situation is changed of God, there's going to be a whole lot of stuff that's going to be jacked up.
Well, now that you just brought that up, I mean, I'm still staying in the. Go ahead. Who's saying? But Eric, go ahead.
I'm done.
I can use some of Trump's words on this.
Okay.
I was just saying they're just faking it until they can make it.
Go ahead, Dr. Susie. No, Dr. Susie, you go. I'm good.
All I was gonna say is this is still an issue surrounding creation, and my fear is if we don't receive the generosity of God and respect it. To me, let me ask this thing. This is what I'm saying, Eric. If you're gonna be generous to me, then I can give you the once you give me everything, I can give you the finger and turn off and walk off and ignore you. But generally, when somebody is generous to you, you're beholden and you're humble and you're grateful. Generally.
But we don't have that spirit in our society anymore, Dr. Susie.
But that's exactly what I'm talking about. And that's why when the question is, how does the generosity of God affect my life, if you don't value the generosity of God, if you don't value the creation that God has given you, if it means nothing to you and you call yourself a child of God, a person who is supposed to respect the very thing that God created. Now, and see, when we talk about creation, let's brush it on down. You're a creation too, bro. I'm a creation. If you can't respect the God in me, which we don't even do that, there's a serious issue. We don't respect nature. We don't respect our other brothers and sisters, the creation in my the Imago Dei in you that God has put in you through breathing in you the breath of life. You don't respect that. That's saying that we don't value or appreciate the generosity of God. As far as I'm concerned, everybody don't have to believe with me, but I'm saying to me to you all, to me, if you can't respect God's creation, then you don't value the generosity that He's extended.
Amen.
Yeah. That's how I see it.
I agree. I agree with you, Dr. Susie. And you know what's amazing about this is we've squandered and we haven't respected God's creation, and God still loves us. And that's an amazing message that I think somebody that's listening in today needs to understand. But that does not alleviate us of our responsibility that God gave us dominion, and we should be trying to protect what God has given us, and we should be speaking out for clean air and clean water and global warming, and what are we leaving our children and our grandchildren? Are we going to leave them with a polluted earth and all kind of illnesses and sicknesses because we didn't honor the creation that God has given us?
And so, Dr. Nooks, the reality is that we can't just do that and expect that there are no consequences. The earth is responding. I mean, you know, let's be real. The earth is responding. In Oklahoma, where they're fracking, they're having earthquakes. You know, we can't do what we do and think there's no consequences. There's a chain, a cause and effect that occurs that goes throughout the universe. So there is a price to pay.
Yes.
And yes, I want to say God loves us in spite of all the mistakes that we make, but those we are held accountable. There are those of us who know better, and it says, to those who much is given, much is required. And when you have knowledge, Sean uses it all the time. She talks about revelation knowledge. When you have knowledge, you're held accountable for that knowledge and what you need to do with it.
Amen.
You need to walk and honor the knowledge that God has given you. and to not acknowledge that and to utilize that is not being generous or appreciating the generosity of God that God has bestowed upon you to give you that talent, to give you that thing to be in control of. You know, when we look at the idea of the talents, to one he gave one and the others he gave 10, those who are going to be more responsible for it. We have an accountability to be responsible for the generosity he's bestowed upon us. And so I just want to say God is good all the time. I love the Lord, and all these things are wonderful, but he's given us a lot, and there's a lot that he expects us to be accountable for. And as we go through and learn and understand this, we have to find that balance. We have to find the balance.
And this is Sean. If I could just piggyback on what you said, just a couple comments around that is, you know, a lot of what we're talking about, like you said, I mean, we are stewards of the earth, and there's so much only that we can do, right? There's certain people in certain positions of power that have greater influence than others, and that's real. That's just the reality and practical of the world in which we live. However, that's at the same time, some people may use that as a cop-out. So this is the thing. You have to do what you can do. And
Amen.
If you don't have whatever, you know, some people's perception may be, well, I don't have the, you know, money, or I don't have the position. Well, you know, you can go and vote, which impacts who you put in office, who makes decisions
Amen.
About your environment. You do, if you don't have the money, right, then, you know, this is the thing. The world, in the word that we just read, right, God created the world with his words, right? So you don't have to have money to have an impact in the world. It does, it operates in a different, you know, way, but you don't have to have money to make change. How to make change is pray to God. So I believe if more of us have problems or have issues around what's going on in the earth, what we need to do and what we can do is pray, because God has given us a voice. He's given us a mouth to speak. And so he said, pray and bring all your burdens to him. And so if you're really concerned about the conditions in which you live in, or you're concerned about the future conditions for your children and grandchildren, then we can pray to God, and God will handle all of that. He will handle those
Amen.
Who are
Amen.
making bad decisions that affect us
Amen.
And affect our world
Amen.
In which he's given us, and he will either replace them or change their heart or their ability to do the things they want to do, and anything that they have done, you know, God created it. So God can also restore it. So we can, in prayer, say, you know, what our issues or concerns are to God, and God will lead and guide us into what we can do, and he will do the rest. So,
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
That's really something that we can do I know I'm talking about us personally as individuals, but I'm saying as a people, are we just talking and complaining, or we want to do something about it? If you really are concerned and want to do something about it, then you need to pray to God and ask God, who is the creator of all, including those who are making these bad
Amen.
Decisions.
Amen.
So that's just my 2 cents on
Amen. I love what you said, but I just want to say one more thing before we close time. Not only can you pray, but we were talking. I keep hearing somebody shaking and moving stuff. I can't hardly hear. But not only do we pray, but in praying, we act. There's actions. There's a story about a man who lived, I think it was in an area in New Orleans, and the oil had destroyed the beach in the area. And he went every so often and took a plant. And he took a plant, and he just planted it in the ground. They had lost vegetation. Wildlife, whatever, and over, I think it was like 5 years, him going in and taking just one a few things that not only has the vegetation grown back because it couldn't root and others started to spread, but the wildlife that left and disappeared began to come back. And so we don't know just how God can use us by simple acts of of action. They don't have to be expensive. You know, you can take somebody to your yard and go plant it. You know, something's dead. You can still bring life. And I think that's the issue that we need to understand. We can still do things that aren't expensive. We can vest ourselves. And even if we don't have the money or feel like we can't even take a plant out of our yard, there are places who will provide the plants if we just go plant it. You know, we beautify areas all the time. So there are things that can be done if you really want to do them. You can Google and find out. You can volunteer. You can pray. And prayer is always a good thing. You can't go wrong by praying. So, Dr. Nips, I would like everybody who's left on the line, I'd like to, if Dr. Nips, if you don't mind, if we could just do one take-home for tonight, if we could just share
That's
one
fine.
Take-home. So, Brett, can you give me one take-home that you have, and then Sean and Mark, and then we'll go to Dr. Nips, myself and Dr. Nips.
Eric's gone.
This is Britt. From what I get from this is that God does everything in order for our good, because He wants to provide for all of our needs, and that He has done. And there is no confusion when it comes to something that God does. So if you believe that God is telling you something, keep in mind He is not the author of confusion. He hasn't done anything out of order.
General.
As the old people used to say, He's not putting the cart before the horse. That's something God doesn't do. So if you find yourself doing things and it's out of order and it doesn't make sense to you, then you know that's something God didn't do for you. So,
we're talking about the generosity of God, Brett?
Yes.
Well, what's your thought about the generosity of God?
That He's awesome, because He provided everything for us. That's why when you get up in the morning, I thank Him, and people ask me, well, how do you feel? I say, I'm great, because God allowed me to be here another day, to experience everything that He's done.
Amen. Thank you, Bruce. So, Sean, what is your take-home about the generosity of God as we've been discussing creation?
I'm amazed at the detail of His giving. Generosity, to me, is just the love and the kindness and the abundance of goodness. And so much detail He's put in creating me and the things for me to provide for me, and whether it's my survival or protection or enjoyment, the detail of the generosity that, you know, He didn't just, you know, want to give me a little taste. He has given me an abundance of it, you know, and He's not only has He created, but then He put in systems for restoration. So it's a constant renewing of the goodness, right?
Amen.
So He just,
Amen.
He just continues.
I'm ready to shout now. You said that's some good stuff. I'm sitting here shouting, talking about, thinking about it, Sean.
You know what I'm saying?
The detail.
Restoring, refreshing, and it's an everyday thing. That's what sleep is about, right? People don't understand. People think, I mean, if you really think about it, when you go to sleep at night, sleeping is for for your benefit, so your body can refresh and renew and restore itself, so tomorrow you'll have another good day like you had today. So it's just the detail of everything, you know, you know, when you're shedding of your skin, right, just fresh skin to be, you know, it's just amazing. So it's just the renewing of your cells. Every cell in your body is constantly being renewed, right? So anyway, that's my takeaway.
That's all. Amen. Brother Mark, are you there?
My takeaway is that I'm blessed. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
My takeaway is I'm blessed that He saved a wretch like me.
Amen.
Two, didn't have to bless me, didn't have to save me, but he did. And that in itself is more generous than I could ever ask.
Amen. 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 Well, as we have heard our take-homes for understanding how does the generosity of God and creation affect our lives, we have so much to think about. And for those of you who are out there in radio land, we hope that your understanding, as Brother Marcus said, we're talking about each of us being the creation of God, and God has been so generous to us to give his son so that we can have eternal life. And we're excited tonight as we look to close. Dr. Nix, if you're finished, if you would close us tonight in tonight's prayer.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say that this is a different area of study, and I realize that, but I wanted us to really look at it because God is just awesome. And part of my career has been in environmental. I was an environmental manager. And the more I studied about the environment, the more I understood how wonderful God is. And the more I look at myself and God's creation, the more I'm just in awe of God and his blessings to us. And sometimes we need to just understand what God has given us. And God's generosity in giving us creation is something to shout about. Thank you, God. And God, we just thank you for the Bible study tonight. We thank you for being present in our lives and for providing for us and making a way, as Sean said, replenishing us. That's amazing when you think about it. Every day the sun comes up, and every day we're replenished. And that's just wonderful. I mean, some people, creation is one thing for one time, but God keeps doing it over and over and over and over again. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word that helps us to understand you better. Thank you for your spirit that helps us to understand you better. Bless each and every one of us on the Bible study. We all have needs, God. Many of us are sick. Many of us are tired. Many of us are in need of a job, in need of finances, in need of a blessing, in need of a breakthrough, in need of better relationships. God, a more loving heart, a more understanding mind, a better spirit. God, help us in all aspects of our lives. And then help us to serve and understand and appreciate all that you have done. And God, to share your love with other people. Thank you for this Bible study. Thank you for your love. Thank you for loving me, even when I was messed up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.